Thanks for listening to the Velocity Church podcast. We hope that this message encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Now, here's the message.
We're in part two of the Law of the Seed. We're finishing it up today, two parts. We'll be getting on the road to Easter here. The Law of the Seed. And part two, I titled it, Living From Within. So it's an inside job. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's an inside job. Go ahead and turn to the other neighbor. Tell them also, right? Let's tell two people there. It's an inside job. It's within. Last week, we spoke about how we have our part and God does his part to bring everything we need in this life according to do his will. Many plans are in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that prevails. It's not about handing your and say, Lord, here's the plans, here's the script of my life, now go do it. But it's about doing his will. We work together in one vision. Talking about man and God. Not division, not two visions. Two visions would be division, right? Not independent of each other. We have been given these exceeding and great precious promises that we might become partakers, participants, get to participate with God, co-labor with the Almighty. Separated from the world to escape the corruption and the way the world operates. We are responsible for planting the seed of God, which is his word, and God will make it grow into a harvest. This morning, I want you to hear the word of the Lord, to get it down in your spirit, to understand how the kingdom of God works, so you can tell if you are with one with the kingdom of God and how it operates. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of truth who guides us in all truth. He's the one that teaches us all things and gives us remembrance of all things. We ask right now that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, would speak something into our spirit that would just ring like a bell in the spirit realm. Unveil the curtains, pull back the curtains so we can have revelation. You revealing your word to us, Lord, that we might not be just hearers of your word, but become doers of your word and understand it fully and comprehend it and go forward in your kingdom. And we're all careful to give you praise for all the fruit that's born here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Everybody said amen. Kingdom of God is not outward, it's in the unseen. How many of you know that? It's not outward. That's how the world operates. And this morning, what you see that there's a law, time, a seed, time, and harvest, and that's how God operates. How many of you know God's different from the world? His thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why we have to transform our minds. That's why we come to church, is to hear the word of God. It's not just motivational speaking that gets you delivered. Listen, I can motivate you and get you up off the couch, but do you know which way to go after that? It's not just inspiration, but it's information. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. So this morning, I want you to realize that God has a system, and he uses his system, and it's different from the world. But because we are born into this world, and we were born into sin, we still want to use that old worldly system. We still relate with one another physically. We relate with one another, but there's a spirit that's born again. When Adam when God created Adam, they co-labored together. They worked together. He communicated with Adam. They walked in the coolness of the day. He spoke to Adam in the coolness of the evening. He made a garden and he called it Eden, and he gave Adam every seed, yielding, bearing seed that would reproduce after its kind. And they worked together. Matter of fact, God, you remember, he pulled animals out of the ground. He created animals out of the ground, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. So God did his part. Adam did his part. But God gave him instruction about not eating from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And if you do, you will surely die that day. Adam disobeyed. Eve was deceived, Adam disobeyed God, and Satan usurped that authority that man had. And from that moment on, God and Adam were not with one. God was outward. God was separated. Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, out of God's presence. And so religion has always, and this is what religion is. Religion is always trying to get back to God by doing something outward to get to God. But praise God be the Jesus Christ who died and brought us back. Where the first Adam failed, the second Adam came along and brought us back, not where God is just near us, but lives down inside of us. Praise God that we are now the holy temple of the Most High God. The Ark of the Covenant. Call the news and tell them right now, we found the Ark of the Covenant. It's at Velocity Church. There's a group of folks here in a movie theater, and the Ark of the Covenant is with them. And it is, because the Spirit of God lives down inside of you. And if you don't recognize that, you'll start praying like God's still on the outside. Hey, God! Shouting to God. Hey, Lord! He's like, I'm right here. I'm right down inside of you. And so that the unseen realm is a very real realm, and that's how you're going to receive all your needs, everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness is going to come into the unseen realm of the kingdom of God that lives down inside of you. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, and let's look at verse 20, 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, you know who the Pharisees are. We don't smoke and we don't chew. We don't hang with those that do. That's that old religious bunch. You know what I'm talking about? We keep everything right and we're right with God. We're God's answer man. We're God's superman, you know, because we do everything right. Do you know that you will split hell wide open if you think you're going to get to God by work righteousness? It's not by your works, lest a man shall boast. I don't know why God got me off on this. It's you're righteous because of Jesus Christ. If you ever heard this statement, and I know you're going to cringe because the religion will make you cringe on this, it's like, you are as righteous as Jesus. And you hear that, you're like, crucify him. Well, you better be, because whose righteousness is going to get you there? Jesus' righteousness. So he who knew no sin became sin that you might become the righteousness with God. Righteous with God. So these Pharisees, you know, they got it all going on. When they come to the kingdom, he says, when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He's not like, oh, it's outward. There it is over there. Nor will they say, here. Here's the kingdom. See there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? It's down inside of you. When you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your spirit, the old Adam died spiritually. We were born. When he fell off that bridge, we all fell off of that bridge. We were born into sin. We had to be born again in our spirit so God could live down inside of us. How many of you know you're a three-part person? How many of you know you got a soul? How many of you know you have a soul, but you're not a soul? Your soul is made up of your will, your mind, and your emotions. This is what you choose with. This is a soul. You got a free will. You choose with this soul. How many of you know this soul can get you in trouble? How many of you know you can make bad choices with this soul? That's why we come to hear the Word of God preach so that we can renew our minds by the Word of God and transform our minds with the Word of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds that you might be able to prove the complete and acceptable will of God, perfect will of God. You don't have to go get a book on what the seven steps to the will of God. Just transform your mind. Transform your soul. So you have a soul, but you're not a soul. How many know you got earth suit? Flesh. How many know it's not perfect? How many know your flesh can lead you and try to call the shots in life? The lust of the flesh. How many know what I'm talking about? Temptation. How many know that Pastor Arthur can sit on a couch, and here lately I've been watching Dragnet. Y'all remember old Dragnet back in the day? I used that line on Dina this week because Dragnet, the guy was, you have to know him. Joe Friday, Sergeant Webb, Joe Friday, he comes in, and I remember this woman just giving him all this details. And he goes, just the facts, man, just the facts. So Dana came up to me the other day when she's giving me all these details, right? And I looked at her and I said, just the facts, man, just the facts. I don't even know where I was going with, where I was at. The lust of the flesh, thank you. I don't have to talk my flesh into sitting on the couch all day long. Hey, would you just sit here and watch episode after episode, episode after episode? I don't have to do that. It has its desires, it has its lust, but we have to put down. Now listen, if you're tempted by that, but you don't act on that, it's not a sin. Just because you feel something doesn't mean that you give it into sin. Jesus was tempted by all points. Right? We don't have a great high priest who's not sympathetic to our needs, but he's been there. He's walked a mile in our shoes. He knows what it is like to be tempted. He's been tempted at all points, but he didn't sin. So God's done that with us, that we have flesh, we have a soul, but we have a third of us. Everybody say a third. It's perfect. Perfect, complete, wonderful. When you take your last breath, and you head over and step across that Jordan, to be absent from the earth suit is to be present with the Lord. That spirit's not going to have to be changed. It's perfect. It will never lead you into sin. How many know there's a war going on with the spirit? Galatians says there's a war going on with the spirit and the flesh. They war with one another. Why? Because your old flesh is trying to get your soul to make the choice of the flesh. Because your soul is making the choices in life. Because you have a free will. God didn't make you a puppet. But the spirit, the perfect you, will never lead you in sin, is worn with that flesh. And trying to get that soul to be transformed so it can have the perfect will of God operating in his life. So we can know God's thoughts. We can know God's ways. We can transform and learn those things. So the kingdom of God is not outward. See, that's how the world goes after things. You remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he says, why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about what you're going to drink? He says, consider the birds. They don't sow and they don't reap. There's a principle. They don't sow, they don't reap. But he says, you're more valuable than birds. He says, don't be anxious. He said, don't go running after things. That's what the world does. They run after things. You know, jobs, money, fame, Instagram followers, right? You know what I'm talking about? They run after things. But don't do that thing. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. How many of you know you can't have a kingdom without a king? So seek ye first the kingdom of God, the king of the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. That means they're getting the right way of doing things. How many knows the right way and the wrong way? And this word tells you the right way. You bless your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. You know why God wants you to do that? To keep your attitude right. Keep yourself in love. Keep yourself that you can receive a harvest. Watch out what you let planted in your garden. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things and all the things, the outward things that the Gentiles seek. You remember him saying that? These things the Gentiles seek. The heathen seek these things. The world seeks these things from the outward, but it's not an outward thing with God's kingdom. It's an inward thing. Remember Ephesians, it said like this. It says, blessed be our God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So God has given you everything to live a godly life with abundance, amen, not poverty. I mean that poverty is a curse of the law. How many know we've been redeemed of the curse of the law? How many know sickness is a curse of the law? We've been redeemed from sickness. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to steal. He tries to steal word. Do you know the thief is trying to steal the word right now? That old wayside ground where the pastor preaches and he feels like his words are going boom, boom. Because wayside ground doesn't receive anything. Sometimes the wayside ground will hear it, but they won't receive it. They hear the word of God, and by the time they get to the foyer, it's gone. How many are talking about? How many have been around people like that? Where you're like, my gosh, you've been here for 20 years and you still talk that way? Has anything got deposited down in your garden? And you're like, you're scratching your head and like, where's the harvest? Where's the fruit? Where is it at? So God's gonna give everything that you need through your inside in your soil. That's how we grow things. The seed grows. And this is all seed. How many of you know this is a warehouse of seed? We've got to receive the word of God. You're here this morning, you want to change your harvest? You feel like I'm not getting much of a harvest? Well, you need to check the soil. Nothing wrong with the seed. This is incorruptible. Matter of fact, let's look at that scripture real quick in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 22, since you have been purified your souls, purified your souls. That's your mind, will, and emotions. How did you do that? By obeying the what? Since you have purified your souls in obeying the opinions of people. People in the know. Those YouTube prophets. You got to beware what you listen to. Take heed what you hear. You purified your souls, your minds, that what makes the choices, the will, the emotions of your soul, by obeying this through what? The inside. Not outward. All the works, that all the goody-goody deeds I could do, the good Samaritan badges I could wear, passing out turkeys every time it's Thanksgiving, helping little ladies across the street, that's not going to get you anywhere without being born again in your spirit. Get that this morning. If you don't get anything else, you're not going to get to heaven unless you're born again. And Jesus is going to say, well, you can come to Jesus. He says, so there are going to be people that say that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. That makes me want to get saved all over again. You know, we got to check to see. Examine yourself and see if you're in the salvation. The Bible says in Corinthians. So purify yourselves, obeying the truth through the Spirit. In the Spirit, it's in your spirit. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've not received the gift of righteousness, you're spiritually dead. You're like the first Adam. But if you're born again, then you have a brand new spirit. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man passes away. The new man comes. Why? Because the new spirit lives down inside of you. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. How are you going to have a pure heart? Well, you got to guard your garden. You got to guard that heart. You ever had anybody done you wrong about your perspective? And what do you want to do? Lord, it says, bless those that persecute you and use you, that despise you. Don't. He says, bless them and don't curse them. I don't mean don't cuss them out. He's talking about don't speak negatively about them. How many know hurt people hurt people? And if you start looking at people like that, they're just a hurt soul. But the whole reason God wants you to bless those people is to keep your garden pure. Keep your garden right. Because you're not going to get a garden of harvest of good things. The good treasure that goes in a good man's heart is not going to bring a harvest of good things from God if you got bitterness. Bitterness in your heart. How many know that bitterness is a root? How many know that root has fruit? And how many of you know that fruit has seed? And if you go around chewing on a, you know, ever been around people, you hang around, they're just bitter and they complain about everything and you just, you know, what's going on? And you're like, oh boy. And then they tell you everything. And the next thing you know, you start eating on their fruit. And next thing you know, you're messed up. Where'd that come from? Came from that seed that you ate. Just like Adam and Eve ate that seed. You ate that fruit. That seed gets down inside of you. Beware lest a root of bitterness springs forth up in you and defiling many. You can stink up the place with your attitude and behavior. Don't hang around an angry man and learn his ways, it says in Proverbs. You got to watch out. Take heed what you hear. Watch what you allow in your life. With a pure heart. Having been born again of what? Not corruptible seed, but incorruptible. This word is seed. The sower sows the seed. I'm sowing the word of God right now. Seed's going out. And it's going into a heart. The sower sows the seed. And it's not, listen, you're born again by the incorruptible. This is living. This is not natural words. This is God breathed, spiritual words, spirit and life. This is what causes you to be born again. When I was 9 years of age, my mother told me how to be born again. Romans 10:9 says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again on the third day, and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. And verse 10 says it like this: for with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth, with confession, salvation comes. So I believe that word, and that's what happened. And that's with you that are born again. You heard it. You heard the word, you heard the seed, someone brought a seed, they planted it in your life, it got down in your heart, and you were born again in the spirit, not of incorruptible, but immortal, ever living, quick and powerful. Do you know this word is upholding all things by the word of his power, the power of his word? That the reason the sun came up this morning because of God's word. God's ordained things. This word is powerful. This word will set you free. The spirit of truth. Those who know the truth shall be set free. Shall be free indeed. This word is not natural words. This word will change your ground. It will water your plant. It will plant seed in your garden. It will bring light and revelation of God's word. How many know what I'm talking about? It will grow what you put down inside of it. Now God knows that and the devil knows that. You got to watch out because the devil wants to come along and plant seed in your heart to be in competition with the word of God. You know, the devil, when he came to Eve as a snake and he said, did God not say every tree? You see how the devil does? He's always messing with the word of God. He's always trying to twist the word of God. He's always trying to get you to doubt. You got to guard your heart from pests of unbelief and doubt. And sometimes, folks, they can come from church folks. I don't care about the opinions of people. I care about the word of God. Don't give me your opinions, and don't give me your traditions, and don't give me your philosophies. Beware. Give me the word of God. There's times I'm working on something. I'm believing God for something in my life. There's a need, and I got seed. I go find seed, right? And I plant that seed down in my heart. When I plant that seed down in my heart, I keep watering that seed. I keep studying the word of God. Why? I want it to grow. I want it to bring harvest. But I watch what tries to come in and plant tares in my garden. The enemy's out trying to plant tares, weeds, news, on news. Man, you know, sometimes I'm about ready to throw whatever I got laying on the couch to that TV. Then he goes, "Why do you want me to turn it off?" I said, "I'm working on something. I'm tired of listening to that stuff. Turn that stuff off. It's a bunch of lies anyway." If you don't watch out, you'll get more in tune to things and opinions and people in the know and traditions and philosophies of people. And the next thing you know, they'll talk you right out of this. If I get a bad doctor report, you know where I'm going to? The Word of God. If the doctor gives you a bad report and says, that's all you, and say, no, for he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised by our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes I'm healed. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, what am I doing? I got to see the Word of God down in me. I'm watering that Word. I'm studying that Word. I'm meditating on that Word. I'm chewing that Word. And I'm guarding from unbelief. People will fight you over sickness. Did you know that? They won't stay sick. I've had that happen. One time I got sick. I didn't get sick. I felt it coming on. Where you get that nausea. And I had children all, and Dean and all went through this virus thing. And I'm like, I'm not going through that. And I'm riding in a truck. I was doing some air conditioning work, and I just began speaking and praying in the Spirit, you know. Just right there. And I just kept on doing it. Because it says when you don't know what you ought to pray, you ought to pray in the Spirit. So I'm praying in the Spirit. And the next thing you know, I feel fine. I'm wonderful. Next day, I get up to go do some work, and I go over to this gentleman's house, and he's a Christian, but he's in a denomination that I won't name. He goes, how you doing, Arthur? And I said, I felt like I was getting sick, but the Lord healed me. And boy, he just turned around and said, you know what? Peter was crucified upside down, and blah, 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 blah. Just let me have it. And that kind of bothered me. And I thought about that. You know what? That night I got home and I felt it coming. And all of a sudden I was like over the great white throne. And I knew the devil had done this to me. And so I was praising God. I was like, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praises should continually be in my mouth. When it got all over with that, I was like, Lord, what happened? I overcame this. He said, yeah, but you reasoned and you meditated on it and you chewed on some fruit. The guy planted some seed in you. You got to guard it. You got to guard. You got to watch out. So you're born again of the incorruptible seed. So God's seed, God's got seed. And the way that God gets things done is by speaking it. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at verse 20 and 21 real quick. Okay, I'm going to go. Then God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with the waters abounded according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was what? It was good. So, here's what I want you to see. How did God create? He said. He spoke. He spoke. Now, he spoke to waters. And what came forth out of the waters is what he wanted. So, he spoke to something to get something. You catch me? He spoke to the waters. And what came forth was fish. He spoke to it. Now, God has given us something to speak. Amen? He's given us his word. And he's given us somewhere to speak, too. You know where that's at? Down in our heart. Down in our soul. Down in our spirit. So anytime something comes against you, whatever you got. You need deliverance. Well, 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 in my right hand, but it's not going to come near me. So I don't know about that, Pastor Arthur. Well, you can't have that if you don't believe that. God shall satisfy me with long life. How many of y'all believe that? How many are going to live long and strong? Well, you better have good ground. If you want that, you're going to have to keep your garden. How do you keep your garden? Make sure you let that word of God in there. See, this is the final authority. Doctors don't have the final. I love doctors. I go to doctors, but they don't have the final authority. I'm big on who says something. God says it, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to act on it. It's settled in heaven. And so if it's settled in heaven, he's brought to the heaven, and he's given it to us, and he's given us something to speak. So you keep speaking it. You keep believing it. And that seed goes down. But how many know that seed goes down and still unseen? It's growing down. It's growing with a root first before it comes back up and produces a harvest. You know, you can grow radishes, I think, in 3 weeks. Plant the seed and boom. But there's some things you got to plant, and it takes a while before you get fruit. Same thing with God. Sometimes you just need, don't grow weary doing good. For in due season, everybody say due season, you'll reap if you don't faint, if you don't throw in the towel, if you don't quit, if you don't give up. So God's given us his word. Let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. I love this. It's about guarding your garden, guarding your heart. My son, give attention to my opinions. My son, give attention to people in the know, the philosophy of the world, the traditions of men. You know, don't give attention. He said, give attention to what? Which is this. So how do you give attention to it? Incline your, so you have an ear gate. That's why you got to beware. Take heed what you hear. So incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your what? How many know you got eye gates? And eventually it comes out of the mouth. Did you know that? Man, God's made us pretty balanced. You know, we got 2 ears, 2 arms, 2 hands, 2 feet, 2 legs, and 2 eyes. Praise God, 1 mouth. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your where? In my head. You know, theologians have a head full, but a lot of times they don't have a heart full. You got to have a heart full. You want to come. He says, incline it and keep them in. Keep these words in the midst of your heart, in your garden. Keep them in their garden. For they are. Does anybody just want death? Huh? Wake up and you're like, it's life. Jesus, I come to give you life that you might have it more abundantly. You know, he says you might have it more abundantly. You know why he says you might have it abundantly and not that you will have it abundantly? It depends on your garden. Or are you going to keep it clean? He wants to give you abundant life. He says, I come that you, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, overflowing, Zoe life. Everybody wants that. Everybody shouts for that. But that you might have it depends upon you. Keep them in the midst of the heart, for they are life. To those who, what? You're not going to find them sitting on the coffee table. I know you got that big old coffee table. They got the big old Bible sitting on that coffee table that's like decoration. You remember your grandmas used to have that back in the day? And it was the big one. You know, you got in trouble. Go get the Bible. Go get the big one. You're not going to find it sitting on the Bible. And listen, the devil knows if you know what's in this. You can shake this at him and say, I bind you, devil. He knows if you know what's in there. I think it was Spurgeon that said, and this will make you say, ouch, okay? Get ready. Go ahead and curl your toes. I think Spurgeon said it like this. He says, there's enough dust on your Bible to write the word damnation. I told you. Ouch. But you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. for they are life to those who find them. And catch this. Here's one to plant in your garden when the doctor gives you a bad health to all your what? Oh, no, Pastor Arthur, when they say that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for iniquities, and by his stripes we're healed, he's talking about, you know, you're spiritually healed, and one day heaven will be your home, and then that's why you took the beating. And it bore, when he says he bore our sickness and our griefs, bore our sickness and our pain, that's not talking about physical. That's talking about spiritual. Well, could be, but it's also talking about physical. Because Matthew chapter 8, Peter has a mother-in-law, and she's got fever. Y'all remember that? And evidently, Jesus wanted to eat. He was probably hungry. So he comes in, he heals Peter's mother-in-law of the fever. And an hour later, she's fixing dinner. And it says right after that, so they will be fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah that surely he bore our sickness and our pain. Peter's mother-in-law, what was she healed from? Fever, physical pain. See, if you don't watch out and you don't guard that garden, the enemy will come in and plant tares. You'll get it from people, bitterness. The next thing you know, you're not growing anything from God's garden. It's all in competition. Seek ye first. That means, what's your priority? Well, for me, it's ribs on Sunday morning, barbecuing all day. Oh, I get God out on the lake. Well, I do too, but I try to do it on Saturday. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. That's work. That's not Pastor Arthur. I'm not meddling with you here this morning. I'm planting seed. I'm sowing seed. And it's your job to receive the seed with meekness, the engrafted seed that's able to save yourself. It's your job to receive it with gladness. But receive it and produce 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. Can I give you one more scripture? Finish this up. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, how many know this is law? God's word is his law. This book of the law should not depart from your what? How's it going to be in your mouth always? You got to get in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. You want to know what's down in your heart? You may give you a good litmus test to know what's in your heart. Just check the elevator. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You get pressure put on your garden, what's the real you? It's going to come out. You can change all that. That's that old tares, and that's that old bad seed, that's the enemy. Receive with meekness the grafted word is able to save your. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, chew on it, think about it, receive revelation from it. You know what I mean by meditate here, guys? I'm not talking about having the word of God and going, No. I'm talking about chewing on the word. Doesn't mean that you have to read this whole Bible in 6 months. I hear people do that. They'll go, oh, I read the Bible all in 6 months. Well, good for you. Has it done anything for you? Have you read the Bible? Has the Bible read you? Have you changed? Are you being transformed? You know what I do? You know what I do personally? I don't sit there and just read chapter after chapter. If you do that, praise God, all right? But I'll find a scripture, and I'll just chew on that one scripture. Chew on it, swallow it, bring it back up. How many of you know that the word meditate in Hebrew means to chew, like chewing on the cud, like a cow? You know what I'm talking about, cows? They take in large quantities of grass. I watch cows taking all this grass. We raise cows, and you never see them swallow. It's like always chewing. It's just tear. Are you going to chew that? Tear. But then later on, you see him under an old cow under a shade tree, and he got his arms, got the legs folded up underneath it, and he's over there going like this. You know what they're doing? Chewing on a cud. What do? They take in large quantities of grass. They got four stomachs. They bring it one stomach, and then they regurgitate it. Hope you had your breakfast. They bring it back up. Cow thinks that's great. Chews on it. Swallows it. Chews on it some more. Brings it back up. Chews on it. Swallows it. Regurgitates it. Chews on it again. Until finally it becomes the cow. The grass becomes the cow. That's what God's word wants you to do. So I take a word like this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Oh, well, it's got to be in my mouth. If it's always going to be in my mouth, then it means it needs to get in my heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or like faith. Here's one in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith has the power to create substance. Faith is unseen. You can't see it because of the kingdom of God. So faith has the substance of things hoped for. You got to have hope, or faith won't know where to bring the substance to. So your address has to be hope, because if you don't have hope, faith don't know where to bring the substance to. That's chewing. That's meditating. That's spending time. That's what you do with the word of God. And look what happens. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. It's not about just hearing. It's like Nike. Just do it. Do it. Don't deceive yourself and be forgetful hearers. Do it. All that's written in it. For then you will make your way what? Then God will make your way prosperous. And I says, you will. Because you're taking what God is giving you, the seed, and he's going to cause it to grow. He's going to bring the harvest as long as you keep it in the right soil, in the right heart. And you will make your way. Does anybody want to be prosperous in here? Oh, no, that's not holy. You hear people tell you that? Fight you on that? Fight you on poverty? Fight you on everything? Y'all just as poor as church mouse. Where do you think that came from? Traditions of men? How many know God wants you to prosper in all things? Above all things, say that with me. Pray that you prosper and be in good health, even as you're, this got to prosper. Amen. Now, don't let that old devil still, don't be wayside ground and just hear what I'm saying. You're like, got your arms falling, like, not receiving this stuff. Open up. Beware. Make sure that your heart's right before God, and you'll receive a harvest. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it went on good ground. These folks in here, Lord, they're the right folks, Lord. They're good folks, Lord. They want to receive from you. They're pressing in. And so, Lord, I ask that you just awaken them to their righteousness, awaken them to the things of the kingdom of God. Thank you for your spirit that you made us born again. We praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give the opportunity, though, for salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you think you're right with God because of your works. You're not going to get to heaven by your works. The only way you're going to get to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to become born again in your spirit by Jesus Christ, by receiving, by the incorruptible seed. You have to be born again by believing that Jesus Christ rose, died, rose again on the third day, and paid for your sin debt in full. And the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then heaven will become your home because you're born again into the kingdom. It's an inward thing. You're not going to get there by outward things. It's an inward thing. So if you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity for salvation. You say, Pastor Arthur, raise your hand. You say, I want salvation. I want to know heaven's my home. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. Just raise your hand. Yes. Yes. Just raise your hand high. Yes. Hallelujah. Now say this with me. Heavenly Father, heard your word. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. And this morning, I want to be changed. I'm to become a new creation, Christ Jesus. Make my spirit born again. Make my spirit created perfect in you. Thank you, Father, for bringing me here this morning to hear this word by divine appointment, that I might know that I need a Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for your plan. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the cross and paying my sin debt in full. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me the ways of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening today. To stay connected, visit us online at velocityburnham.org and follow us on Instagram. And if you're ever in the Burnham area, we'd love to have you visit us on a weekend. Thanks again, and we hope to see you soon.